A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. While still more people gathered in the crowd, Jesus said to them, "This generation is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, but no sign will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. Just as Jonah became a sign for the Ninevites, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. At the judgment, the queen of the south will rise with the men of this generation, and she will condemn them, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and there is a greater than Solomon here. At the judgment, the men of Nineveh will arise with this generation and condemn it, because of the preaching of Jonah, they repented, and there was something greater than Jonah here." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Just as Jonah became a sign for the Ninevites, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. That is true in two senses. Jonah was assigned to the Ninevites first by the miraculous circumstances of his having been saved when tossed overboard in the ocean. You remember the story? It was immediately before the first reading we have today, in which God had a mission for Jonah, but Jonah was reluctant to do the mission. And so he tried to run away, and he got on a boat, and the storms came up on the sea, such that all the sailors thought that they were going to perish. And Jonah came forward, confessed that it probably has something to do with me. "What have you done?" they asked. He described that he had run away from God's plans. So they thought, in their simplistic way of looking at things, that the only way to save their lives would be to toss Jonah overboard. Better for one to die than for all to perish, they thought. So Jonah went overboard into the stormy sea. And for them, everything else seemed to calm down. We know what God had done for Jonah. Miraculously saved Jonah's life. For 3 days, he was there in the belly of the whale before he was spit up on shore. This is related to Jesus because, as Caiaphas said, better for one man to die than for all to perish. And he was tossed overboard, tossed to quell the storms of the sea, tossed to overcome sin. And he spent 3 days in the belly of the earth until, through the power of God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, he himself was expunged from that belly of the earth, that tomb, risen from the dead. That's the first connection between the two. There is a far greater sign than the sign of Jonah. I mean, I always love it when people say, "Couldn't have happened with Jonah." I mean, how likely is it that someone could spend 3 days in the belly of the whale? Does that make sense to you? Question is, it's clearly possible. Does it make sense to us that a person went to the moon? Does it make sense that we can get into a plane and fly? There are a lot of things that would exceed most of our capacity to be able to understand, but it's not beyond what God would have been able to allow. But in Jesus' resurrection from the dead, that coming back from the dead after 3 days in the tomb is a far greater miracle than would have happened by a man's being in the belly of a whale for 3 days. We just have to admit it. But there's a second connection between Jonah and Jesus. After Jonah had come back, after the Lord had shown him that the Lord was in charge and that the Lord would be with Jonah, just like the Lord had saved Jonah's life in the sea, Jonah completed that mission. He started to go through Nineveh. 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. 39 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. 38 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. And those Ninevites, a big pagan city, got the message. And they converted and went into sackcloth and ashes, from the king all the way down to the domesticated pets. They all repented. And so did God. God, because of their coming back to him, said that they would not be destroyed. And now we've got a greater one than Jesus, than Jonah here. Jesus appeared to us just 7 days ago, talking about how our sins would destroy us. He preached a message of repentance as one of his ministers smudged ashes on our forehead in the sign of the price he paid for our sins. He said, repent and believe in the gospel. Turn away from sin. Be faithful. The question for us, have we been acting on those words? If the pagan city of Nineveh repented at the preaching of the prophet Jonah, a chicken who would run away from the Lord, how much more should we be repenting of what Jesus himself has preached to us? It would have been easy in Nineveh for those Ninevites to just say, Jonah's a quack. Shut up. We're going to go on with what we're doing. Same old, same old. We're just going to ignore your message. If they did, Nineveh would have been wiped out from the map. But they didn't. And it's easy for us to say, same old messages last Lent. I lived a mediocre Lent last year. I'll live a mediocre Lent this year. I'm doing just a little bit more than I did. That's all God wants. I'll continue to focus on these particular things that I'm doing. No, Jesus wants us truly to repent, to cut the cord from all sins, and to be faithful in all the little things to his gospel, little and big. That's what Lent is about. And Jesus says, we've got 33 days left. Today, as we come forward, we recognize here at this Mass, we've got someone greater than the Queen of the South, greater than Jonah. He doesn't just speak to us his message that he wants us to act upon, but he also feeds us with himself. The greatest person in the history of the world, greatest person there will ever be, comes here to visit us this morning. Let's never forget that. And let's not take what he wants to do here each morning for granted. Yes, he comes to meet us out of love, but he also wants to help us to convert and to become a saint. That's the two things he wants, to turn away from sin and be totally faithful. Faithful like the Blessed Mother, faithful like Saint Anthony, faithful like the person he created us to be. And he comes to give us in himself the power to do both. May we here in New Bedford respond even greater than the Ninevites of old.